cabin on the mountain when the sun was shining bright. I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night. I've been betrayed like Jesus by a friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, joy, I've learned to lean on you. I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the thing that I lean on you. When I don't know, that's my dream. I got faith, I'm leaning through. The battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name.
But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
Scripture says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. This morning, Jesus, he's our supplier. And according to his riches and glory, how much does that mean? How many riches does that mean? Only one truly knows us in glory. But I can tell you this, he's not bankrupt this morning. There's plenty of means, there's plenty of grace, there's plenty of resources. And so for whatever reason that you're here this morning, or you're just coming here out of obedience to the Lord, yet there's something in your life you need, Jesus knows and he is able. And so praise the Lord this morning for Jesus, and I'm thankful that we can lean on him. I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. I want to welcome all of those who are watching on Facebook, and we appreciate you, those possibly listening on our webpage, and even on our little radio station. We praise the Lord for those tuning into this ministry here to church. I want to bring you up to speed on a few folks and a few things we have going on here at the church over the next month. Brother Eddie Rich had his three phases of surgery this past week, and he gave me a text the other day and said that he's all done and on his road to recovery. So we praise the Lord for doing what he did. And Miss Joanne sent me a picture earlier this week, and I opened it without expecting what it was, and so I seen the wound. And but anyway, What a surgery that was. I remember Brother Berman, a long time ago, had that same nose surgery. And they had to do a graft and all of that, skin graft. So let's pray for his recovery on that. And let's remember Miss Brenda Rawls, one of our members, as she continues to recover from her foot surgery. And she's having another surgery as well. They're back in Alabama this morning. And don't know all the living arrangements, and they're coming and going as they do. So That's just what I was told. So they should, Lord willing, be back in about a week or so. Let's remember Miss Claudia Darby. She's not doing well, having some breathing issues. She's sick, actually. I spoke with her the other day. Let's remember her. Miss Ruby Harper, continue to remember her. Texted with Brother Steve Harper the other day. He had COVID. He's doing better. He even said Miss Ruby is doing okay, but they still need the prayers. So let's remember them. Let's remember Richard Martin in our prayers. The Bendys in our prayers. They're back home safely in Alabama, but we're still remembering them. Let's remember Miss Marianne Sanvey and her foot recovery as she continues to get better. But also, it's her birthday. And so... happy birthday to you, Miss Marianne. And finally, 21 years old. How about that? Wow. Now, 37. Well, 21 or 37, I'm older than you are. And so, anyway, we appreciate you and what you mean to this church. And good to see Brother Harold back with us. He's been back for a couple, 3 weeks now, but... just glad to have them every service we can. Amen, brother. Amen. Appreciate your heart. Brother Don Rich will be presenting his mission, him and Miss Carla, giving us an update on that. And also he'll be preaching for us this morning. I'll be preaching tonight, so let's remember that. A couple of announcements and then a couple other things. On the 28th of this month will be the last Sunday of the month. Brother Craig Edwards will be here preaching a.m. and p.m. That morning I'll be at Floyd Road preaching homecoming. But the p.m. service, he specifically wanted me to try to advertise of what he's preaching on. He asked, would it be appropriate? And I said, I can't think of any more appropriate time than now to preach on the subject, and that is depression. He'll be preaching on that night of the 28th. We'll be having no fellowship that night like we do on the last Sunday of every month. We're just going to have just like a mini one-day revival meeting, however you want to look at it. It's a special meeting on that day, a.m. and p.m. And then next month, coming up quickly, is homecoming on the 11th, 9/11. So remember that. And... we've got some things in the works on that day, so remember homecoming, 10:30 in the morning. No Sunday school, no Sunday night. And then we have a safety team meeting this morning after the service in Brother Ceylon's class for all of our safety team members. Also, let me mention this. We are pleased to, well, we're saddened, but we're pleased to make this statement. We're saddened that we've learned of some missionaries that we support who have passed recently. We're saddened over that, but we're excited to say this, that we're replacing those two or three. And number one, we're starting support on Brother Darren Townsend. And this is a young man who has been to Peru with the Riches, has stayed with them, been in some kind of training with them, and hopefully and prayerfully will be with them in the future. That's where he's wanting to go, is Peru. He feels the Lord leading him there with them in that general area. And so we're pleased to announce that this morning, and we're going to have Brother Darren come by soon, within the next month, to present his work. And so we praise the Lord for that. But also Vernon and Jeanette Peppers were taken on. And Brother Vernon was here, and Jeanette was here last Sunday night and presented. They're over fairs and festivals. That would be considered a home mission. And just a little tag to them, in September, they're going to be at the fair handing out gospel tracts. They've got their little three doors, little display, and sharing Jesus with people. And so I would like to recruit some to come with me to do that on a couple of different occasions. More specifically, young people. they told me, they said, well, if an older person witnesses to the older person, that's fine. But when you see a young person out there giving out a tract, telling people about Jesus, it reaches young people. And so, young people, y'all listen. If you have a desire to share Jesus, please come and see me. We'll line it up. We'll go together, and we'll have a great time. All right, wanted to say that. Also, I believe we already support Victory Baptist Press, but we're going to give them a love gift for providing, I don't know a final count, but it's in the thousands of postcards that are getting ready to be sent out with our area code, or zip code rather, 30127. Literally thousands are going to be mailed out to everybody in our community with our church information, the gospel plan, and a little QR code that you scan with your phone and hear the gospel message. And so that's a win-win. And we're doing things here at Calvary. We will continue to, and we're excited about the future. All right. Well, I'm done with my announcements. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you. I pray today, Lord, that you would have first place in everything. Be with the singing, Lord. Lord, be with Brother Don as he presents and just brings us up to speed on how things are going there in Peru. We hear from time to time about the Bibles, and we're excited about that. Be with him when he preaches. Reach a heart today, Lord, at least one heart, if not more. Save a soul. Bring a struggling Christian back to the cross. Do many things in one service. And Father, we just will be careful to thank you and praise you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, church choir, stand with me and turn over to page number 393. Page 393, let's all stand and sing this morning. When we all get to heaven. All right, everyone sing now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the
That's the truth right there. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Let me just say this morning, choir practice, choir at 4 o'clock with me today. We're trying our best to work on some brand new songs and be ready for homecoming, which is on 9/11. Again, that'll be a great day, and we're very excited about it. So please make that a matter of prayer. Go ahead and start inviting some folks to come and be with you on that day. Again, that morning, there'll be no Sunday school. We will start service at 10:30. If you invite someone for that day, please make sure you tell them it's 10:30 so they don't come walking in at 11 o'clock and feel like, oh me, I'm late. So that'd be some good information for them to have. 10:30 on homecoming 9/11. So please remember that. And again, we are very excited about it. Choir practice 4 o'clock today. Let's go to the Lord now in a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's blessing on the service, on the offering, on our minister today. Brother Don, we love you, man. We're looking forward to hearing from you and what the Lord has for us today. Let's pray that the Lord would touch hearts, save souls, revive us as a church. Would you agree with me that we stand in need of revival? If we ever needed revival, friend, we need revival today. There's so much going on in the world, but I'm so glad to know that we're in the house of God this morning. We have the help, the strength, the desire to be here. Now let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask Him to be in our service today. Father, we love You. Lord, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have. Lord, help us to never take that lightly. But we have an opportunity to come and listen to the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You touch us. Lord, if there's someone in this building today that's never accepted You as their Savior, whether it be upstairs or downstairs with our kids, Lord, whatever and wherever, God, I pray that You would touch someone and save them today, that they would come to know You as their personal Savior, their name, Lord, to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life forevermore. Lord, if there's someone just needs a touch from heaven today, Lord, we all do. Lord, in some way, we need to hear from You. Lord, we know You have something for us here today. May we leave this place today, even if, as it's been said a couple of weeks ago, just with a nugget that we can take home with us, that we might be able to, Lord, bring that out this week, that You might speak to us, Lord, through the week, Lord, from Your word that we'll hear this morning. With Brother Donsey brings a message, shares the work that You've given him there in Peru. Thank You, Lord, for them. Lord, thank You for their steadfastness, Lord, in the Word of God. Lord, I pray again that You would just be in this place today. Touch the offering now, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what is needed. Fill this place with Your Holy Spirit, that we'll be able to leave and say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We'll praise You and we'll thank You now for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don comes around. I was just thinking as we were singing that song that I believe, if not the first time thereabout, we sang that song. It was, Brother Allen, it was outside. And I got to thinking we may never have that opportunity again to have Easter outside. And what a moment in time that was. How special that was. And so that song really means a lot around here. Brother Don.
I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me.
We are Don and Carla Rich, missionaries serving in Peru for 19 years. We are sent out of Calvary Baptist Church in Powder Springs, Georgia, where our pastor is Reverend Justin Hales. We have two children, shown here with their families, including our three grandchildren. In 2003, we left our home in Georgia and moved to Lima, Peru, where we enrolled in language classes. In 2005, we felt the Lord leading us to move to Los Baños del Inca, a small town in the department of Cajamarca with a population of around 45,000. We began a church in this rented building and named it after our home church. God soon blessed us with a piece of property and a perfect location where we could build a church. A year later, we completed the first building on the property and moved the church services to the new location. The church continued to grow until there was no more room. In 2012, we finished construction on the rest of the property and moved our church into the new larger facility. This sanctuary seats around 300 and has been used for church services, weddings, and conferences. It is a blessing to have our own baptistry where many new Christians have been baptized. On August 14th, our church, Iglesia Bautista Carvalho, will celebrate its 17-year anniversary. In October 2016, we started another church plant in the coastal city of Guadalupe with National Pastor Juan Carlos and his wife Karen. Over the years, God has blessed us with several ministries. One of those is the mobile unit. This ministry has allowed us to show Christian movies outdoors and preach in open-air settings all around Peru. Carlos stays very busy with the women's ministries in our churches, setting up ladies' conferences and teaching and coordinating classes. In 2010, we were chosen by Victory Baptist Press to be the distributors of the Spanish Bible for South America. In March of 2012, they sent us our first container full of Bibles. Since that time, we have received and distributed a total of 6 shipments containing over 130,000 whole Bibles and thousands of New Testaments from Victory Baptist Press, 9.25 million gospel tracts from Fellowship Tract League, and 500,000 Romans booklets from Beacon of Truth Baptist Ministries. And there's more to come. We are now waiting to fill our distribution center with the next shipment of around 25,000 Bibles. We deliver the Bibles and materials using several different methods, including shipping through bus stations. A river barge is used to reach villages deeper in the jungle. And we also have made many deliveries in our truck. Carla and I personally delivered them into the jungles of Peru to many pastors whose congregations have never had a Bible. We've also delivered them to the capital city of Quito, Ecuador, where these missionaries distribute them to pastors for their congregations. In 2017, we drove from Peru to deliver Bibles into Bolivia. We started a second distribution point in Chile and delivered Bibles into Argentina. We have now been able to get Bibles into all 9 of the Spanish-speaking countries in South America. In 2015, we provided around 200 Bibles, which were given to the political leaders of Peru, including the president of Peru at that time. We have been able to get the Bibles into the hands of the poorest in the country and to the most elite. God's word is truly going out to whosoever will. The Bible ministry has opened new doors for us. I have been given opportunities to teach the importance of Bible doctrine and the purity of God's word to several pastors in different parts of Peru. A few years back, I was invited to help train national pastors in an area of the jungle where they have very little Bible knowledge. It is so bad that I actually won 6 pastors to the Lord at that conference. They speak Spanish, but their native dialect is Awahoon, and we found that they had no Bible material in that dialect to study. I spoke to one of the pastors who agreed to translate some doctrinal material for us. We have now translated and printed 10 pastoral training books into the Awahoon dialect and have made it available to other pastors and missionaries as well. We started training conferences with this material, giving the pastors something to take back and teach their churches. We've also started the Calvary Bible Institute out of our church in Cajamarca. We were very pleased to have 20 graduates from our first course and 23 in the next. When the COVID pandemic hit, our ministry had to adjust like everyone else. While churches were closed for over 8 months, we had online services. Because most people could not work, we started a food distribution ministry to provide essentials for many people in our area. As you can see, we've been very busy, but there's still so much more to do. We're praying for God to call a like-minded couple or family to come work with us in Peru. If you feel that might be you, please let us know and we'd be glad to answer any questions you might have. Carl and I would also like to invite you to come visit us in Peru. We would be glad to help you plan a mission trip for your family or your group. If you'd like to see or know more about our ministry, our website is rich.com. www.missiontoperu.com. This website contains many pictures of our ministry that we don't have time to show here. Carla and I would like to thank you and ask that God bless you for your faithful prayers and support of our ministry.
I tell you, I don't know how many of you caught it when it spoke about August 14th, the church would be celebrating its 17th anniversary. If anybody looked at their calendar today, you'd realize that today our first church is celebrating 17 years. If I wasn't preaching here today, I'd be preaching down there today for our anniversary services. So it's a privilege to be here with you. We've got a good preacher down there this morning that invited to come preach, and also our pastor down there is a very good preacher. So we know that they're getting the Word of God this morning. We really appreciate your prayers over our work. I hope that kind of gave you a good update about what's been going on, and just know that this church sent us down there to do this work. Through our God, He used this church to send us down there. We appreciate y'all. We love you, and we just thank you for y'all standing behind us constantly with your prayers. Pastor mentioned that the church is taking on Darren Townsend, and I want to say thank the church for that. Praise the Lord, because at the end you hear about where we're asking for help down there, praying for a couple to come and be with us. Well, this is one. The wheat fields are white under harvest, though, and we could use many. This young man, he's been here, actually visited. Some of you may remember he's a tall young man with red hair and plays a banjo. He visited here a couple of years ago with us. He's been down there several months at a time visiting with us and learning more about the field. And I can't really say this out loud online, so I guess I shouldn't, but he's looking to be engaged soon. Scratch that off the internet. Actually, he is coming down with his girlfriend and her parents to visit the field 2 weeks after we get back to Peru, and the Lord has put it on his heart to come back and work with us, at least when he begins, and see where the Lord leans from there. We're praying that he stays with us so that we can help train him in what we've been doing down there, that they can continue that. We're not going to be there forever. You know, we're getting a little older. I went down there with dark hair, if y'all remember. We want to make sure that the work will be in good hands when and if the Lord ever calls us out of there. But I also wanted to share something else with you this morning. And our Sunday school class got to see this a little bit closer than the rest of you will. This is a little track that I had made that has Santa Claus's picture up here. Now, why would I do that and use it year-round? Well, as I was explaining to them, here I'm just a regular Joe with a beard. But in a brown country, they look at me and those little kids come up and stare, and their parents would come over and say, "Can my child get a picture with you?" And they call me in Spanish, of course, it's Papa Noel, Santa Claus. And so I had a track made. I've been talking about it for years, and I finally had it done. I am not Santa Claus. The inside starts, but I know someone who gives a better gift. And then the rest of it speaks of how they can receive that gift. So I'm excited to get down there and let my beard get a little bit longer again. And being able, of course, I can use this year-round. Because like I said, here, we may think about it around December, November, December. Down there, it's year-round, they're staring at me. So I can reach parents, I can reach children. So, and any of y'all brothers want to come down there, I'll be glad to help let you come down there and use it with me. And we are returning in 2 weeks from tomorrow, August 29th. A lot of you have asked, so I just wanted to clear that up. August 29th, we'll be heading out, and we sure covet your prayers. We are praying that we will be with y'all the next couple of weeks before we leave. That all depends on it. The phone rings, and the pastor says, "I need you to come." So we're always open to be able to preach the Word of God. But this morning, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Book of 1 Samuel. As we come to the scriptures, while you're looking at it, for this message, David has been on the run from King Saul, who had been searching to kill him. And you say, "Man, that sounds like a missions message." Let me tell you, I have never been one to stay on the course with a missions message. I always just preach what the Lord puts on my heart. And this may even sound a little strange this morning, what I'm going to preach, but it's what the Lord put on my heart for this morning. So I pray that it's for someone that apparently He wanted to reach this morning with it. Now, back in chapter 16, this young shepherd boy, David, was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be a future king. And we all know that story of how King Saul became very jealous of David because he knew that it had been prophesied that he would be king. And the king's own son, Jonathan, a dear friend of David, told him that his father, Saul, was planning to kill him. So David's wife and Jonathan both helped David to be able to escape. And he stayed on the run for his life for quite a while, as we'll see here. Then he was helped by Ahimelech, the priest, when he was given Goliath's sword, which had been in storage since David had killed Goliath. And at one point in his hiding, David even had to act like he was mentally unstable or insane just to escape the danger of being captured. Now, if y'all think that about me sometime, I'm not worried about being captured, just my normal state, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 22, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. David, therefore, departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. Now, while David hid out in this cave, a large group of misfits, as we read here, came and joined up to him with him. So we see that he started as being alone out there hiding in a cave, and he ended up with a whole army all around him. And at least twice during his running and hiding, David had the chance to kill King Saul, as we read in the scriptures. But he refused to kill him, stating, "I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." That's how much that David loved the Lord. He wouldn't even give in when he had the opportunities. You see, Saul had been anointed years before and became king, but he had displeased the Lord and was told that he would lose his kingdom as punishment. And David had such a deep respect for God that he wouldn't harm the one that was even seeking to kill him, because God had his hand on that man. You know, sometimes, and I'm not going to name names this morning because it's hard to believe, but I tell you, sometimes the Lord has his hand on our leaders when we don't like them. So we have to remember that this morning. Folks, David heads out with this group of misfits. Tell the story a little bit here. He makes the poor decision to live and to hide in the land of their enemies, the Philistines, in a little town called Ziklag that was given to him by King Achish, if I'm saying that right. But they were also willing to partner with the enemy in battle. Now, one day the Philistines went to the battle against the Israelites, and David and his men were with him. But although King Achish trusted David, the leaders of his army didn't. So they told David to return to his city Ziklag. And we'll see that here in just a few minutes. Let's start reading in the end of chapter 29 and verse 11. "So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now it took David and his men about 3 days to return to Ziklag. But when they did, they made a horrible discovery." Chapter 30 and verse 1. "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city and beheld it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives." Now, back over in chapter 27, you don't have to turn there. The story is told of David and his men attacking the Amalekites that we see mentioned here, along with two other groups that had been enemies of the Israelites. You see, they killed every person they saw in the attack and took their animals. Didn't leave them with anything. It appears that some of the Amalekites formed a group and wanted to exact revenge on David and his group for what they had done. And it hit them hard, as we're going to see here. Look at verse 4. "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." That's pretty strong. We can only imagine the scene that they must have encountered when they arrived. The first thing they would have noticed was that the city was in shambles. torn apart and burnt. Homes were burnt to the ground. Nothing but ashes to mark where the families once lived and worked and played together. The stench of the smoke was probably still rising from all the smoldering ashes. And think about the gates to the city. They were either removed or destroyed or standing open, exposing the town as vulnerable. But what the soldiers didn't find when they arrived were their family members that they had left behind. And I'm sure that they expected to return to be welcomed home, you know, with open arms by their family, their wives, and their children. What better feeling is there than to be greeted by your loved ones? But no women were to be found washing laundry, tending the kids, working in the garden, cooking meals, doing any of that. No children could be seen playing in the streets. There was no sound of laughter that they expected to hear when they arrived at their homes. Folks, it could have been a very stark and awful, a very horrendous sight to behold as they came back to their homes. Verse 4 states that these strong, brave warriors were brought to tears as they see their lives completely shattered before them. And they had no idea whether they were going to find the bodies of their families lying in those ashes as they entered this city. Imagine how they must have felt. And if not, the thoughts of the cruelty that could be inflicted on their wives and their children if they were taken as slaves, how they would be treated. So this verse paints a very sad picture of these men who literally exhausted themselves in their deep mourning and agony and crying. I hope you can kind of get the picture of what's going on here. As they surveyed the city, they realized that their families had not been killed, at least not in this location. And maybe the enemy took them to replace their own family members where David killed all these others over there. And maybe they wanted to just make slaves out of them. At least they had a little bit of hope either way that they might be able to find their families again. Look with me at verse 5. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now imagine being in David's shoes here. He was leading this group of misfit soldiers into battle after battle. And now they've returned. Not only did David suffer great loss himself, but because of his actions, those that followed him were also suffering and have now turned against him. So he went from being alone to having an army to being alone again. Well, I want to stop here for just a moment. I want to do a kind of an instant replay of what truly happened that day as we read through it. And I want us to look a little closer this time at what occurred to bring this misery upon all these people, including David. 1 Samuel 27, if you would, please. 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. 1 Samuel 27 and verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, and he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. Verse 6, then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines, the enemy, was a full year and 4 months. 16 months he spent living in the enemy's territory as their friend. Now we've already said that God had protected David, and he had even had the opportunity to kill Saul twice, but yet we see in the face of opposition, David retreated to the land of the enemy, the Philistines. Many of us as Christians make that same mistake. Let me tell you that this morning. When living in this world gets tough, when we're living under persecution, instead of standing up, instead of trusting God, instead of fighting the good fight, we choose to blend in with the world because we don't want to be, you know, have our feelings hurt or have anybody not be our friend, you know. And it may seem easier to give in. It may seem easier that we don't, so we don't stand out as different or suffer for our faith. But as you're going to see here, it can have horrific consequences. And as we've heard many times, our actions have consequences this morning. And you'll notice the name or title, I guess, of this message: does the enemy have your family this morning? Does the enemy have your family? I want you to notice that our choices and our actions and our examples affect and influence others. Not just us, but others. As it is in David's case and his family and his band of misfits, many can suffer for following our poor example. I want you to notice that those who were weak, those who were vulnerable, they were the ones that made the mistake of following a leader who is going in the wrong direction. Remember what we just read in 1 Samuel 22:2, and everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over him. You see, an important lesson we should learn from this is that when we have problems, we shouldn't seek help from someone who's running away from their own problems and making unholy compromises in their answers. Too many times, Christians turn to worldly friends for counsel instead of turning to God's Word. And that's what we need to be doing this morning. Amen. Notice back in chapter 27, verse 6, Achish came to the city of Ziklag to David. You see, gave the city of Ziklag to David. The enemy is always welcoming us with open arms. He wants us to feel comfortable, provide what we need as we move further and further from God's will. Some people say, well, I'm doing this, and I feel good, so surely God's good with it. How many times have you ever heard that? In verse 12, King Achish stated, therefore shall he be my servant forever, after he gave him that property. You see, the enemy always wants us under his control. And when we are comfortable in the enemy's territory, that downward spiral occurs quickly as we let down our guard, because we start getting more and more comfortable being around him. Not only were David and his men living in the enemy territory, they'd also joined sides with the enemy. They were even willing to help them in their battles. Think about that just for a moment. This goes to show that when we blend in with the world, it's so easy to forget whose side we're really on. It's very easy to forget. Sometimes we don't realize it unknowingly, and sometimes knowingly, we're actually helping the enemy fight the ones who are on the right side. Even the leaders of the army didn't trust David. You see that David and his men were on his way to fight with the Philistine army against their own people, the Israelites. But even the leaders didn't trust David. And they told their king, send him back. Let him go back. Look with me in chapter 29, verse 4. And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him. And let him not go down with us to battle, lest in battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s? You see, David had left his own people in the past when there was problems. Why would his former enemies trust that he would remain loyal to them when he got into battle? I mean, even the worldly crowd can see through our double-mindedness, folks, giving us a poor testimony in even their eyes. James 1:8 says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if he's done it in the past, he can do it again today within this battle. So King Achish sends David and his men back to their home in Ziklag. And I can imagine that even though they were ready for battle, they were looking forward to getting back to their homes and their family. But let me tell you, living among the enemy gave them a false sense of security. The city was left unguarded while they were gone. Their homes were vulnerable while their focus was elsewhere, which gave the enemy a great opportunity to attack. Let's go back to verse 5 of chapter 30, if we would. Verse 5 in chapter 30. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. You see, in the same way that the Amalekites took advantage of families that were left unprotected and that were left vulnerable, Satan takes advantage of any opportunity that we give him to attack our families. As leaders in our homes, we need to be diligent to make the right choices, take that right actions, and be the right examples to those around us, especially our children, especially our family members. But sadly, many times we fail setting a bad example by wrong priorities, by wrong decisions in our life, and through this, we leave our own homes open to attack. Now, David and his men compromised themselves by aligning with the enemy, as we're seeing here. Too many Christians have done the same thing. We do the same thing by living so close to the world that those around them, including their children, can only see a blurry line between what is good and what is evil. Think about the example that we're setting when we watch movies and shows or play music in our homes that glorify sinful activities, such as drinking. Think about something that you watched recently, a few shows you've watched recently. Has any of this been in there? Drinking? Smoking, nudity, cursing, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and you can add many others. Think about the things we're inviting into our homes with that. We call it entertainment, but is that really what we want to entertain ourselves with? I asked Sunday school class this morning, I was talking about something similar, and I asked them, would you invite people into your home to do these things? I would hope not. I would hope not, but that's exactly what we do when we turn on our TVs, when we turn on our computers, when we turn on our radio and allow that, the enemy, to infiltrate our homes. Is that the lesson that we want our children and our friends and our family to learn in our house? Is that the testimony we want them to see? Now, I know this was an obvious example, but what about others that we don't think about so much? What about thinking about putting more emphasis on work instead of family? Putting more emphasis on money before serving God? Think about that this morning. What about putting an emphasis in excelling in sports over being in God's house? And when we expect our kids to believe us when we say, oh no, God is more important than anything. But yet we put more emphasis on that. Folks, it's a double standard. And we need to stop offering up our kids to the enemy. I want to say this morning. Folks, you want to do something for God? Create a sports league that doesn't play on Sunday. Amen. Simple as that. Think about our attitude in dealing with tough situations. Do people see and hear a consistent testimony? Or are they just here griping and complaining? What about gossip and backbiting, constantly talking bad about people, talking them down, looking for the worst that we can find in somebody? What about being 100% honest in all of our dealings? Are we that way? Or are we looking for money? Are our actions enforcing biblical teaching that we receive here in this church and proving our faith in God? Faithfulness in church attendance. That's one thing people should see in us. Faithfulness in church attendance. Faithfulness in studying God's Word. Faithfulness in tithing. You know, y'all may have seen something I put on Facebook this week. It just came to my mind when I was studying. Is God's money in your bank or His? Where are we putting what should go to God? Are we hanging on to it, or are we bringing it into the storehouse, as we learn in Malachi? Maybe there's somebody listening this morning who's been living in the enemy's territory, or maybe they're just dangerously close and is suffering the consequences of their actions. Let me ask you, does the enemy have your family? Are you seeing signs of rebellion? Maybe a lack of concern for the things of spirituality, the things of God. What can we do about it? What can we do about it? Let's go back to Scripture. Let's see how David handled it. Notice in the verse 6, the end of verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The gift of the city of Ziklag that the king gave to David was very appropriate. The name Ziklag comes from a Hebrew word that means pressing someone mentally in order to bring out what's inside. Pressing them. Think about that. David was pressed to the point of bringing out what was really inside of him. What was inside of David this morning? That was the knowledge that God had anointed him to be king of Israel. That was what was inside of him were the memories of how he had been, God had been with him in the past, how God was with him when he defeated Goliath, when he was with him and protected him, all those battles, taking all those captives, when he was helped to escape Saul, and when he was alone, and God gave him a whole army. That's what was inside of him when he was pressed. He didn't say, oh, woe is me. He went back. He said, no, I know I serve a living God. I know I serve a God that has done all these things. You see, that knowledge and those memories of God's faithfulness caused David to be able, encouraged, and it says, and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, he realized that our loving God is a God of second chances. Yes. David knew his strength came from God, and he also knew that God had a plan for him. Let me tell you this morning. God has a plan for each one of us here, and he will not stop, and you will not die. Nothing's going to happen to you until his plan is completed. Amen. So we need to be heading forward. In this same way, God is available and willing to help us fortify our families, repair our broken homes, bring hearts near to him, and establish his will in our lives. Turn with me. Hold your finger there. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. This is amazing. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Not part of it here at church and part of it out in the world, but with all of your heart we can find God. We may feel pressed at times. We may feel like we're being squeezed in a vise. We need to take that opportunity. We need to return to our Ziklag, and we need to let God use it to bring out our best for him. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord when we're feeling down, when we see things like that happening. The hearts of the men in David's army were so terribly broken and grieved that they were ready to place all the blame on their leader, the one that really got them into all this trouble. You know, he had to realize that the men were right to blame him, because it was because of his sin that they were suffering. And he's standing in the ashes of the fire that destroyed his city, and he's looking at a void where families used to be working and playing and just doing all the everyday things together. But now it's ruins. His heart was torn apart for losing his home, own family. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. His strength came back to him, and he knew where to turn for help. Folks, no matter what we are going through, even if it's of our own making, this is encouragement to know that God is still there for us. He still wants to help us this morning if we'll just return 100% to him. 1 Samuel 30, verse 7. 1 Samuel 30, verse 7. I told you it wasn't a typical missions message. 1 Samuel 30, verse 7. And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. I'm sorry, I'm trying to speak in Spanish and English at the same time. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. You see, the ephod was that priestly garment that was used to hear from God. It was kind of like a physical type of the Holy Spirit, which we have today. You see, David didn't ask the first time before he ran away to live among the enemy. But now it appears that he's learned his lesson, and we see him coming back. God's children need to understand that as their Heavenly Father, he wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from us daily, and he's always available to guide our decisions. Folks, we have something better than any ephod, and that's the Holy Spirit this morning. The prayer and the Word of God and the working of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us is all we need, and know how to make the right decisions for our life through that. John 16, 13, I'll just read it for you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit speaks to us of things we will never even understand, but he can still guide us through that. In verse 8 of 1 Samuel 30, we see God's gracious reply. He told David to go rescue his family and his belongings. Go get them. He even promised that he'd be successful. Look at verse 9. 1 Samuel 30, verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. You see, one-third of the army was so weakened by their mourning, by this traveling, this long march, that they stayed behind at the water crossing to watch over their belongings while the others went ahead to battle. The rest of them marched on, eager to find their families. Look at verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. There's a story to learn, a lesson to learn here. You see, this man was left half dead by his own people, the enemy. And that is the way that world and Satan treat their own. You see, Satan deceives us. He draws us away, offering us everything. All these lost souls go to him because they think that's where they're going to find their fulfillment in life and everything they want. But then he just leads them to self-destruction and just leaves them. Verse 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. You see, God supplied David with everything he needed to get his family back. There's hope this morning, folks. This young man led them right to the enemy that had taken their families. And when they found them, they were busy celebrating their victories. But look at verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. You see, God gave David and the men with him the strength to fight around 24 hours straight. He'll give us the strength we need, folks. He didn't stop fighting for his family until the enemy was defeated. Those who weren't dead ran away scared. You see, David was fierce when it came to protecting his family, and that's exactly what we need to be this morning. In the same way, we should never give up on bringing our family to Christ or rescuing them from the grasp of the enemy. We should be more than willing to make the sacrifices. Folks, there are sacrifices to be made. I mentioned some things earlier, and you know in your own mind, things that we truly could do that would secure our children, our families, being in church, seeing God as the priority in our lives. We need to make the necessary changes and the priorities that we have set in our lives and kind of reevaluate them many times. Let's see the results of going to God, trusting in Him for His power and His provision. Look at verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. If you'll remember and compare verse 19 to verse 8, David asked God if he would be successful in recovering his family. God's answer was pursue. Do it. Do it. Get busy, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. That word pursue means to actively go after. It doesn't mean a passive prayer and waiting. It means we need to do our part to bring our families into God's house, to bring our friends into God's house, to be the witness that we need to be to this lost and dying world. Even when we're weary for our own guilt, maybe, our own failures in life, even years of prayer, battling with problems and things like that caused by rebellion, and searching for ways to help, folks, we should continue to fight for our families. God is faithful, and His promises will always be fulfilled. And He's promised us right here. He'll be with us as we do that, as we fight. Folks, battles are many times won by the element of surprise, as we say. When the victims are most vulnerable, when their guard is down. And I believe that God would want us to take this passage of Scripture as a warning to any of us who are living a lukewarm life this morning, playing in the devil's playground or living on the enemy's turf and leaving our family vulnerable to Satan's attacks. You need to know that you're setting yourself for an invasion and possibly a horrific loss. And we need to refocus our priorities. Brother, if you'll come on up. I want to tell you this morning, our own testimonies are at stake. Not only that, but we're influencing our families and friends with our actions. So, this is a question that I still don't get why the church, many in the church at times just don't get it. But then again, as I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I remember something was told to me, don't ever be mad at somebody else for being where you used to be. And that's true this morning. But there's the question. If we as Christians don't take our faith seriously, who will? Why would anybody else want to be where we're at if we don't even take it seriously ourselves? As we can see all around us, we're living in perilous times. It's not a time to let our guard down. It's a time that we need to be living a victorious life that will influence over. You know, there may be some who will ask, well, you know, I've already blown it. It's already done. I already got too many problems. There's no way to fix it. But as I mentioned earlier, something that we've heard many, many times, God is a God of second chances. I mean, the truth is every moment of our life is a second chance. So knowing that we have that second chance, we don't need to waste it this morning. The time to make changes is now. The time to mend those fences is now. The time to reach our family is now before it's eternally too late. Too late. Folks, don't let the enemy have your family. Don't give up or stop fighting until the enemy has been defeated in our families. Now, I want to say, as I said, this is not a typical message, but it wasn't easy for me to prepare this one either, but I knew God had put it on my heart. I don't know who really needs it this morning. I know I did, but I don't know who else needed it this morning. Tough to prepare, but I preach what the Lord gives me. So if you're here this morning, you're going through a rough time, maybe you're praying for someone to turn to or maybe return to the Lord, I just ask you this morning, don't give up. Seek out someone who'll pray with you. Pray to God that He'll give you the strength, because we already seen He will, just like David. And then go rescue the family this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love You. We praise You this morning. Lord, I don't know for who all this message was meant for, if it was one, if it was ten. Lord, I just pray, dear God, that You would take it and use Your message both here and online. For those that are out there online this morning, I just want to say a word to them, and that is to get in church. Get in church and be the witness for your family this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd impress hearts of those that could be in church this morning but are not. Maybe they're out doing other things this morning, being a bad influence on their own families. And I know that may sound harsh, but the truth is the truth. Lord, I just pray that You touch hearts. Bring people back into Your house. Help them to be faithful to You. Help them to serve You. Help us to reach a lost and dying world, because I believe very soon it will be eternally too late. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for this opportunity. In the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Folks, David was broken, but he never gave up fighting for his family until all were safe at home.
Let's all stand this morning. You've heard the word of God. Now the invitation is given. Why don't you meet us in the altar and do business with the Lord as we sing.
Just as I am without one,
anybody? Are your homes fortified? Are you spiritually secure? Continuing to sing as we have one pray and you come. You may just want to come and praise the Lord. Nobody's looking and watching. These altars are forever occasion. Softly. Thank you all for coming today, and I trust that you enjoyed the morning service, from the singing to the message. There's a lot there to chew on, for sure. And sometimes when there's no encouragement around horizontally there is no encouragement. You turn to that, even the best friend you have or close friend. Sometimes they don't even have the words. But when there's no encouragement horizontally, vertically, there's always encouragement. So thank you, Brother Don, for bringing us to the Lord this morning and to His cross. And I just want to say that 4 o'clock is choir practice. And here in just a couple moments, right after we dismiss in a word of prayer, we're going to have a brief safety team meeting over in Ceylon's class. And those who are going to be attending have been invited, and so if you're a deacon, we'd love to have you, just a reminder, have you as well. All right, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Everyone have a great afternoon, and good Lord willing, we'll share what's on our heart tonight in the evening service at 5 o'clock. Father, we love you today. We thank you. Thank you for Brother Don, Miss Carla. No doubt, God, you have done a work in Peru. Lord, just the churches that's been established, God, it's your Bible lived out. That's what we read in the New Testament, how churches were established, how that you used Paul, and what a blessing it is and how refreshing it is to see that on screen, Lord, about what you're doing in Peru. Continue to work. Be with Brother Darren and his soon-to-be. God, I pray that you would just equip them, make them ready. All of our missionaries, Lord, home, foreign missions and home missions. Thank you for the peppers. Lord, help us as a church just make sure our spiritual lives are intact, our homes are secure, and we're keeping the main thing the main thing, telling this old world about a man named Jesus who saves and restores souls. We love you today. We thank you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.